Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
It's our last sermon of the Christianist series. The last 2 weeks really are a reminder. Church is not just about you. That was last week. Hey, filter your decisions through the thought process of, does this look like Jesus? Is this going to help people to see Jesus? That's how you're going to start to live your life. That's how you're going to make decisions. And so today, we're going to land in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 13, and then we're going to move on next week to Psalms chapter 23 and spend a couple weeks there. But this is another moment in the church of Corinth's struggle with church being about them. They're like, man, we want all this to be about us, which is a hard struggle for all of us. And even when I'm like, hey, you need to move over, you're like, I don't want that seat. I already warmed up this seat, right? Right? And so, but church is not only about you. Your faith is bigger than just you. And so Paul jumps right in, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's going to introduce us to something that I think some of us have heard before. And some of us, this is probably new to us. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. So he's talked about all sorts of things. He's like, let's talk about a son-in-law sleeping with his mother-in-law. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about favoritism. Let's talk about decision-making. Let's talk about gifts. Now, how many of you, honestly, you've heard of spiritual gifts before? Put your hand up high. How many of y'all have never heard that term before? Put your hand. Come on, own it. That's who I want to preach to. I don't want to hang out with church people. And so, first thing you think about when you think about a gift, what is it? Say, come on, you got to help me. You're something somebody gives you, right? Like, think about it. Christmas is coming, right? Because for us, it goes Easter, summer, Christmas. That's how our year goes. And so. So Christmas come, we just had our Christmas planning meeting. Christmas, what do you get at Christmas? You get gifts, right? When somebody gives you a gift, they give it to you and it's yours, right? And so everything that happens in church is bigger than just you. So they have these gifts that they're working in, God filling them up with his Holy Spirit. He's giving them gifts and they're like, this is amazing. We want more gifts because gifts sell, do they not? Remember when Rita's was relevant? You know what I'm talking about? And spring, every year at Rita's, they would give free water ice away. You remember that? And if you drove by Rita's, it was like they were giving money away to people. The line would wrap around the building, into the street. They'd have a traffic person out there just to get water ice because it was a free gift. A free gift sells. And Paul's like, okay, I know how you're thinking. I know how you're looking at it. But we need to go deeper into why God gives us gifts, because here's what I believe about you. If you're part of the church and you're a follower of Jesus, that his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has filled you up and he has put things inside of you that he wants to specifically use to build his kingdom, to reach people that still feel far from him. Okay, one of you amen me. You are not, your spiritual gift is not church attendance. That is not, God put you on this earth, the Holy Spirit filled you up, and he's given you something, but you need to understand the purpose of it. And so he says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters. Watch verse number one continues. He goes, I don't want you to be uninformed. Here's why. Misinformation leads to misuse, right or wrong? If you don't have the information, so like I was imagining a first aid kit. Now, to pretend with me, somebody gave this to me. The reality is I went into the kids' closet and I stole it this morning. And so, but do not worry. Every kid's classroom has one. We have like 16 in overstock, right? And so so your kids have one. I didn't take it for the 2 and 3-year-olds class, right? And so let's imagine I'm an alien and somebody gives me a first aid kit. Now, what's inside a first aid kit? Everybody know? There's Band-Aids inside a first aid kit. Let's say I've never seen a Band-Aid before. I'm from a different country, right? Like somebody gave me a gift. I understand gifts. Somebody gave me a bunch of sticky things. I take them out. I see them. I'm like, these are amazing. I can make artwork out of these. I can hang pictures with these. I can wear them like 1990s rappers. I can do anything, right? Like, I can use them, like anything I want, I can use these Band-Aids. And I use all of the Band-Aids without ever using them for what they're intended for. Then I have an obsession with candy, and I find out they got a bunch of pills in here, but they don't look like pills. These are wipes, but just pretend they're pills. They're candy, right? And I start taking all these pills. I'm like, I love candy. And so they kind of look like candy. And so I start taking all the pills. And all of a sudden, this first aid kit is dwindled because I don't understand why somebody gave it to me. So I just think it's a gift for me. So I just start to misuse it. And then somebody comes with the boo-boo or somebody comes with the headache. And they're like, do you have a first aid kit? And I'm like, what's a first aid kit? They're like, that's a first aid kit. And I open it up and it's empty because I used all the Band-Aids to hang up my pictures in my house. Because I'm not informed on why. Somebody didn't inform. I'm going to give you this gift, but I'm going to give you this gift with a responsibility. I'm going to entrust you this gift with the purpose. And so Paul's going to say, I don't want you to be misinformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. So here's what he means by that. Everybody wants the gifts in Corinth because they think the gifts are going to make them popular and get them more clout on Instagram. More people will see me. More people will celebrate me. Let me get on a stage. More people will think I'm a big deal. He's like, that's the way you used to think before you met Jesus. Verse number 3, he says, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts. The same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service. The same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Here's what's happening. They're taking the gifts of the Spirit and they're turning them into trophies for self. Instead of the gifts being for common good, they're using them for personal gain. So I want you to understand what a spiritual gift is. If we were to define it, here's how I would define a spiritual gift. It is something God puts in you, but it's not for you. Instead, they are given so God can work through you. Say it again. It's important. A spiritual gift is something God Himself puts in you, right? But it's not for you. Instead, He wants to give it to you so He can work through you. And what happens in Christian culture is we turn everything into something we can consume. One of our core values at Journey Church is we are contributors, we're not consumers. And so what I want to do is I want to lead you down the path of understanding spiritual gifts from what I will call consumerhood to common good. I want to get you out the hood and into the good. You know what I'm talking about? Because some of you thinking wrong about this. You're looking at things, you're like, I want to be a preacher. No, you don't, I promise you. I want to be a worship leader. I want this. And you're asking God for these. And God's like, you're missing the point. Because some of you, I made you really wise. And some of you, I gave you discernment. And some of you, I gave you the gift of hospitality. And some of you, I gave you the gift of mercy. And some of you, you have the gift of prophecy. And you have dreams about people. And some of you, we're not all the same. You need to understand the common good, not consumerhood. So let me just give you 4 thoughts. We got to move really quickly. Can we do that? Everybody put your seatbelt on. Here we go. Number one, first thing you're going to do to go from consumerhood to common good is you're going to go from a mindset, you're going to go from to His mindset, not a mine mindset. It's His, it's not mine. He says, there are different kind of gifts, the same Spirit. But you notice how He says it next? There are different kind of service, the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it is the same God at work. I love it because he's like, you remember when you got the baby in the hospital and they were like, here's your bundle of joy, right? What they also could have said is, here's your bundle of joy, here's a never-ending bill, and here will be constant hours of lost sleep. Is that right or wrong? They're all the same thing. And by the way, if some of you are like, if I could just get through the 2-year phase and I'll be able to sleep, you never sleep with kids. When they start driving, you think you're able to sleep? You're up worried all the time. Your wife's worried. You're sleeping. She's bothering you, right? Like, it's all the same thing, right? It's not like in the hospital, like, they're lying if they said that. So he's like, they're gifts, but also because I know how you're going to be, you're going to take it, misuse it. They're for service and working. They're all the same thing, though. But they're given to us from God, so they're not mine. And I love this because I think we miss this. We get gifts and we'll be like, it's because God was so impressed with me. So He saw me and He was like, there's the best guy for the job. Right? What I ask things happens, I think God looks down at us. He's like, Jesus, right? Because it's Trinity. He's like, Jesus, because Jesus at the right hand of God. He's like, does your blood still cover them? He's like, yeah, I think it does, God. God's like, okay. He's like, Holy Spirit, you think you can do anything with them? He's like, well, I did fill Peter with my spirit after he cut off a dude's ear and denied Jesus 3 times. And I filled him with my spirit, and, you know, a few thousand people met Jesus in one day through his message. So if I can use him, I guess I can use them. Like, that's because we think, we'll be like, God made me a preacher. It must have been because I was preacher material, right? And God needed a singer, so he picked me. And God needed a book writer, so he got the best, right? And God needed a face, so he couldn't find anybody better looking than me to do this. And I think God's up in heaven going, I use the foolish things to confound the wise, right? I use the weak things to confuse the strong, right? Like, I don't think you understand what the resume needs to say. And so here's what happens. Because we look at it the wrong way, we'll think our spiritual gifts are connected to our level of spirituality. But the truth is, gifts don't prove you're spiritual. They prove God is generous. It's important, right? Like, they're not evidence you're great. They're evidence he's good. Like, we got a guy in church that won the Super Bowl with the Giants a few years ago when they were good. You guys remember that? I don't. And so I don't really remember that. And so, but he did. And I didn't know this. He's not like one of those guys. Like that just, like, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you right now? If the Lord ever saw fit to let me win something like that, I would wear that everywhere. Like, every conversation would be led in to people seeing my Super Bowl ring. Oh, man, it's kind of hot outside. Yeah, my finger's really sweating today, right? Like, oh, I went to the chiropractor this week. My back was sore. My back is sore, too, from carrying around this ring on my necklace, right? Right? But he's not like that, right? He's humble. And so he started coming to church, and I found out from my son. He's like, Dad. He's like, a guy is in kids' church, won the Super Bowl. I was like, yeah, right. And he was like, he brought the ring. And so then I found out who he was, and I was like, yo, I don't believe you, right? And I was like, bring your ring. He brought it into me. He brought it in. It went over to the corner because he's not like walking around with it. And he like brought it out. Like, he's like, here it is. And I'm like, and I was like, let me put that on real fast. And I put it on. And I just walked away from him. And I took his glory and I made it my story. And everywhere I went, I was like, yeah, I was on the Giants, right? I think they were good in 1983, right? Like, I don't know when it was. And so I'm just playing. And so, and me and Eli, you know, we went, you know what I mean? Like, it was like all this stuff. Like, you'd be like, you're not allowed to do that. Like, you can hold the ring, but you got to give the ring back because you didn't earn the ring. You were given the ring to try out, and I'll give it back, right? Like, you'd be like, somebody in this church, there's a lot of guys in this church that know a lot about, they're craftsmen, right? Like, they got real tools. Like, I'm a Sears tool guy. I'm like a Black & Decker guy. I don't got no Makitas or DeWalt's, right? Or Milwaukee's. I don't mean Milwaukee's wet like that. I don't got any of those, right? And I can't do much. Like, I just can't do much. But I hire somebody from this church to come to my house, and they build this amazing wing, and they leave all their tools, like, set out, right? The Milwaukee's are there and the DeWalt's. And somebody comes into my house, and they're looking around. They're amazed. And I'm like, I did this. No, I know, the truth is, I know a good contractor. But it would be crazy if I was like, yeah, I did this. Right? Like, you ever open a present? Like, I was thinking about my second son's about to be 16. And my mom and dad are like gonna sell him a car for very cheap, like way under price. And then I'm like, hey, we can do the car. He's turning 16 on Monday. They're like, let me go out and get it detailed. I'm like, what? Detailed? Who are you, right? Like, you want to put gas in it and gold plate the things? What? You didn't do that for me, right? And so he's doing all that stuff. He's going to get the car, and he's going to have a knack to be like, that's my car. What? That car was gifted to you, right, through the financial wisdom of your grandparents, right, passed on from generation to generation. And you're like, that's my car. We do this all the time. This is my talent, my sermon, my preaching, my wisdom, my discernment, my faithfulness, my big, bold prayers. You know what I'm talking about? My ability to speak in tongues, my ability for gifts of, you know, of interpretation, all these other things. And God's like, it's not yours. It's mine. It's his. It's not mine. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 12, we have different gifts, This is Paul, different church, same thing. He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Different gifts according to the, what's that word say? Grace. It's the grace of God in your life. James 1, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadows. So if you're on the worship team and you can sing good, your voice isn't yours. It's his entrusted to you. If you're a kids leader and you got patience where you don't want to kill a kid, that patience is not yours. That patience is his flowing through you. If you're on the prayer team and you got all these big, powerful prayers with these big Bible words in it, that Bible words aren't yours. It's his gift to strengthen someone else through you. Right? It's his, it's not mine. Let me just go. Number two. We understand from consumerhood to the common good, we begin to have a we, not me mentality. Let me ask you something. The majority of your days of your life, who is the first person you think about when you wake up? Come on, tell me. You'll be like, I think of my kids. That's still you. My family, right? First person I think about when I wake up, me. Right? We come to church. Who'd you come to church here for today? Like, if you're not here to watch somebody get baptized, you're just here at the 11 o'clock service, you're like, oh, I love this time, right? Like, brunch will still be happening. Pastor said he's preaching faster than normal. I'm going to meet the crowd at brunch today, right? Like, still get to sleep in. Like, everything is about me. And so you start with spiritual gifts. It'll be like, my spiritual gift. Me, 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 me. And so in a church filled with common good, that church begins to develop a mindset where we go from me to we. We are a we church. Watch what he says in verse number 5. He says, now to the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, right? To one, there is given the Spirit of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, and the ability to do miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's discernment. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of the tongue. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each of us just as he determines. These gifts, he says, are not for me. They are for we, for the common good, over and over and over again. And by the way, the common good means to carry forward together to the benefit of everyone. I was thinking about this. So I always, when I was younger, wanted to be a lifeguard. Anybody else? Like, what a cool job. Comes with a six-pack. A tan. You sit in a chair. You have all the power in the world. You got your whistle and your... You know what I'm talking about? You stand up every once in a while with that thing in your hand, you know, in your arm. Remember if you watched Baywatch when you were a kid like me? You come out on it, you look around, you, hey! Right? Do all that stuff. Everybody trusts you, right? And I don't think I would have been a good lifeguard. I got some issues with what lifeguards do. I don't think I could do CPR. Anybody else? I don't even want to be a recipient of CPR. Like, I have friends that I'm close with that I'm like, listen, true story. If something happens to me and I'm dying and you're the only one around and I know my soul is marching towards the pearly gates and I'm about to see the glorious face of Jesus Christ and the angels and the gold, and you bring me back to earth and your face, your hairy lips are the first thing I see when I come back to earth, I'm not going to be happy with you. Let me go. You know what I'm talking about? You're running and all of a sudden, boom, you're shot back. And so, right? And so, like, I would not be good. But could you imagine? If you are a lifeguard, you have to go get certified in CPR. And on your lifeguard shack, you got the certification. You got the thing. It's like, I can do CPR. I can do it. And somebody goes into the water, and, you know, unfortunately, they begin to drown. And you pull them in, and they can't breathe. And you're there to give them CPR. And you're like, I'm not doing it. And they're like, what do you mean you're not doing it? You're like, I have the CPR training, but I thought you did it for me. I thought you just wanted my office to look better. I thought you wanted my credentials. Like, on my Instagram, it was like CPR certified, right? No. We gave you that training because we want you to save people. We We gave it to you for somebody else, right? It's not just for you. And that's what he's trying to say. Like, everybody has a gift, but the giftings are not so we can put something on our office wall saying, I'm gifted in this, I can do this, I'm successful in this, look at me. He's like, the gift is not for me, the gift is for we. Let me show you how it plays out. So somebody today, this is your first Sunday. I don't know, you trust me. Nobody told me it was your first Sunday, but somebody today is their first Sunday. Their family is here with them, possibly. And I guarantee when you go any church for the first time, it is scary, right? Like, you're pulling up, you're like, I don't know if we should go there. I don't know if people are going to judge us. I don't know if people are going to make fun of us. I don't know if people are going to want us there. I don't know if we're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Your kids are in the back. They're acting a fool. You're like, do not embarrass me today. Like, and you're almost pulled in and pulled out when you got here. You just kind of went and act like you made a wrong turn somewhere. And in a church that's filled with me people, the question they're asking, which is, does God care? Is God concerned about me? Does God want a relationship with me? A church filled with me, not we people, those questions never get answered. And I would say they do. You come in here, the church is all about me. Everybody looks forward, worry about themselves. Worship is for the people at the church. Kids ministry, we don't have kids workers. We can't have kids workers. Nobody wants to watch other people's kids for free. Come on now. We don't have any kids workers. There's no greeters because everybody's tired because it's been a long weekend and it's Labor Day and we got big plans tomorrow. So there's no greeters. There's no parking lot people. People are rear-ending each other out in the parking lot, right? There's nobody stopping and making. We don't have no coffee today. No coffee because nobody showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning to make coffee. And nobody's here to play instruments. You got somebody up here playing the kazoo right today. There's no band. Everybody's embarrassed. The question is very evident. Nobody wanted you here. We're all worried about ourselves. But the other type of churches that are we, not me churches, those questions find answers real quick. Like, I wrote this down. A parking volunteer smiles and waves that couple in. Guiding into a spot. It seems small, but it says, you belong here, and the gift of hospitality is working through that person. At the entrance, a greeter shakes their hand and says, we're glad that you're here. The tension drops a little more, and the gift of encouragement is working. At kids' check-in, a teammate reassures the anxious mom, hey, we can handle your screaming, obnoxious kid. And the gift of mercy starts to work. When you walk into the kids' wing, there's kids' teammates and security everywhere, and the gift of administration is at work. In a classroom, somebody teaches a 7-year-old at their level, and the seeds of the gospel are planted, and the gift of teaching is evident. In the lobby, someone hands somebody a hot cup of coffee. It's not just caffeine. It communicates warmth and care, and the gift of service and caffeine, that's a spiritual gift, is given. When they walk into the auditorium, the band sings truth that breaks through the walls. They begin to realize, I'm not alone. There's a God that goes before me. The mom begins to tear up, and the gift of worship and exhortation happens. During the sermon, hopefully the pastor comes prepared and filled with the Spirit. The sermon cuts deep, speaking directly to the Father's hidden struggles. He whispers, how did that guy know I was coming here today? And the gift of prophecy is evident. At the end, somebody sees them in their seat, shaken up from their experience in church, and comes up to them because they're we, not me people, and asks if they can pray with them. And the gift of faith and prayer is evident. Then they walk to the guest area, and someone introduces them to themselves and says, I lead a home group. And they begin to go to that home group, and the gift of shepherding, it begins to play out in their life. And the result is the family walks back to their car with all their questions answered. They came in afraid. They left saying, God is real. We are welcome and we want to go back. Not because of one person's gifts, but because of every gift working together for the common good. Amen. Right? So let me just, you see, when the church lives for me, gifts turn into trophies. When the church lives for we, those gifts turn into people's testimonies. We are we church, not a me church. Let me just give you two more. Number three, to go from consumerhood to the common good, we go to a place that where we're completing each other, not competing with one another. We're completing, not competing. Watch what he says here. He says, 1 Corinthians 12, he says, I love this illustration. He says, we're like one body. Though many, we have many parts, and all of our many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so we form one body. I love this. Jews, Gentiles, slave, free, young, old, black, white, Cowboys fans, Eagles fans. That's the one that needs the most prayer, right? We were all given one spirit to drink, right? Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason of not a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would any sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would a sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is written, many parts, one body. I love what he says in the next verse. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. I love that. What got more time in your getting ready today? Was it your feet or your head? Right? Feet, you're just putting shoes on. Anybody want to see those, right? But here's the thing. You don't got feet, no one's going to see your face because you'll be laying on your butt. He says the eye and the hand, they're not the same, right? He's like, your eye can see something, but it can't grab it. Try it. And your hand, right, without the eyes, can't grab it because it can't see. He's like, you need all of it. They complete each other, not compete with each other. Like, I'll give you an example from my own life. Like, my job is preaching today. That's my job, right? But if son, you had a problem and you came to me, I'm probably not the first person you want to talk to. Because my spiritual gift, I think, is preaching, and it is not mercy. Right? Because you might be going through something, you come to me, and I'm like, just stop. But there's other people, you come to them, you sit with them, you're going through something, and when you're going through something, they have this deep sense of care and compassion, this mercy for you, right? And so mercy and preacher work together. They work like this, is you're kind, but you're boring, and hopefully I can keep people's attention for 30 minutes, but I'm unkind, you put us together, we can change the world. Are you tracking with me? Like, if I said to myself, I'm going to play my altar call, Ben, can you put me on real fast? I'm going to play my altar call. Is this, put this thing on. How do you do this thing? Is it, can I just do this? And I just came over and I just, what do I do when it's time for the altar call? Lord, you can come play me out. Because if I'm up here trying to do my altar call, I'm like, hey, bow your heads, close your eyes. Everybody pray. You're like, dude, I can't. Because you are distracting me. So Laura comes up here and Laura's never preached. I never played piano. Laura can sing. I cannot. And we come up here together, and we ask people to bow their heads and close their eyes, and Laurel tickles the ivories every week, right? And the Spirit of God begins to work in that moment, and people meet Jesus. We don't compete with each other. We complete. Could you imagine if I was like, turn yourself down, turn me up? We complete each other. We don't compete. Let me give you one more. Number four. Speaking of Laurel, let's give her a hand. Here she comes. I mean, you want me to play you up here? So here we go. Number four, last one. When you go from consumerhood to the common good, it's about his glory, not my story. This one's important. You ever notice how every talent you have, ultimately you want the glory to come back to your story? Like, you know what I'm talking about? I'm smart. My kid got honor roll bumper sticker. My kid won an award. Post. My kid's going to this. I get it. My kid's getting ready to go to college. And I'm like, you better go somewhere where I can brag about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm joking. And it's always, okay, you got to do this, but do it for me. And you just, when you get it right, it goes from your story to his going. So Paul pivots right here. He pivots. I don't know if you've ever read 1 Corinthians 13. If you've been to a wedding, you've heard 1 Corinthians 13, right? The pastor will be up. By the way, Paul didn't know he was doing this 2,000 years ago. He's not like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write every wedding ceremony in the history of the world right now. But he pivots. He goes, spiritual gifts. And then at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, and now I'll show you the most excellent way. You ever read that? And then he goes in to this blurb about gifts and love. He says it like this. He says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing, he says. If I give up all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but have not love, I gain nothing. And it's like, where are we going, Paul? And then he tells us, love is patient, love is kind, love does not. And be, come on, read it with me. Love, is it up there? You guys need to read your Bible. And so, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily, and it goes through this. And it's like, what are you doing? And here's what he's saying. He was like, the point of all this, the mercy, the preaching, the worship, the kindness, the hospitality, the generosity, the serving, everywhere we do, the point of all this is to display the glorious love of our God. That's why we do these things. The goal is not walking in here going, that was incredible worship. They're so talented. That kids ministry is amazing. They give away trip bucks. Trip, super creative. That coffee is incredible. That person who made it, I can't believe how talented they are. They got the best parking lot crew in the history of the world, right? They got it going on. They got the best band. They got the best tech team. They got the best this. The goal together is that we display the glory and the love of our God to other people. That they walk into this place and they go, man, God loves me. God loves me. And it makes it so much better because you know how sometimes you're doing something and you're gifting and you're like, nobody notices me. Nobody notices me. I want to do something with everybody seeing it. And God's like, what? That's not the point of it. If people see you, they don't see me. They should be walking away talking about me. You should leave this place. The best thing for me is when you leave this place and go, you were. But God, in spite of you, met me here in this moment and he changed my life. That's when spiritual gifts are working. It is love, the glorious love of our God. Some of you are like, how do I figure out my spiritual gift? I'm out of time. You got to figure it out yourself. Some of you are like, are you serious? Yeah, stand up. And so here's what I would say to you though. I'm gonna close in prayer. Here's what I'll say to you. There's something inside of you that you probably don't even realize is in there. So if it was me and I was trying to figure out where God gifted me, first thing I would do is I would pray and ask the Spirit. Simple. Right? Like, he's not hard to find. Spirit of God, would you begin to speak to me? Then I'd begin to pay attention to what I'm growing increasingly passionate about and what I feel burdened by. You ever been burdened by something? You're like, everybody else needs to feel burdened by what I feel burdened by. And God's like, no, that's your burden. I made you for that. So what do you begin to increase in passion and burden, right? Then you begin to work and you look for fruit and feedback. In other words, find somebody. You know, I have one person be like, I think I'm supposed to be a worship leader. And I'm like, you can't sing. So I don't think you're supposed to be a worship leader, right? It's like somebody coming and wanting to do TV and then be like, you have a face for the radio. You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, no, so you fruit and feedback. Hey, do you see this working in my life? And then step out and begin to serve. Gifts are discovered in motion, not in theory. It's not a test. Just begin to serve. Begin to work in what God is calling you to work in. Spirit wants to fill you up. Spirit wants to make us strong. Could you imagine? Can you imagine if this place became a we place and not a me place? Could you imagine if 2,000 people fell in love with the mission of Jesus Christ and we all began to work in our gifts? How we could be a part of Jesus changing this area for his glory. Would you bow your head to close your eyes? Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how you're going to move over these next few moments, Lord. And as you're in this place and we get ready for baptisms, maybe you're here and just quickly, as I've been preaching, the Spirit of God's been working on you. And in fact, it was not even my preaching. It's been before the preaching. Like, you walked in here and it was like something clicked. It was like something was speaking to you. I believe that's God. The Bible talks about how he is knocking at the door of people's hearts. I love that. Like, he's been pulling at your life long before you even got here, friend. He's been setting up this moment. He knows what seat you were going to be in. He knew what Sunday you were going to come to. He knew what message you were going to hear. He knew the people you were going to sit by. He even knew I was going to ask people to move in closer. He knew all that. He set that up so that he can meet you in this place. He loves you more than you can imagine. You know he loves you because he was willing to give up his life for you. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? You call to Jesus. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus died on a cross in your place for your sins, that he was placed in a tomb, and on the third day he rose in power, and it's through him that we have our sins forgiven and we have eternity promised to us. It's the grace of God, the gift of God, found in Jesus Christ. And he is knocking at the door of your heart, friend. I need Jesus to meet me here in this moment. Come on, if that's you all over this house, I need Jesus Christ. I need him to ask him to come into my life. I want to follow him from this day forward. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. Come on, if that's you, no shame, little bit of courage all over this house. Just begin to shoot your hand straight towards heaven. I'm going to follow Jesus today. I'm going to begin to follow Jesus. I see a hand right here. I see a hand. Yes. Another hand, friend. Yeah, thank you. Another hand over here. All the way up top, I see you. Now, all over this house, as we prepare to go into baptism, every head bowed and every eye closed, would you pray something like this together? Say, Jesus Christ, today I'm giving you my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that because you rose in power, right now, I'm a brand new person. I'm forgiven and I'm healed. And from this day forward, you can have it all. In Jesus' name we pray. All over this house, would you shout amen one more time?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.